Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. More positively minded, and in the studio with me, of course, today, Wednesday, Dr. Bernie Starr. Welcome back, Bernie.
Great to be back with you, Armand.
Hi there. And today I want to talk to you about something else. I was just listening to another program about stress. And everyone's been coming to me, talking to me about how stress in the environment, in the workplace, in their relationships has been affecting them in such negative ways. But you see, there's something that people don't understand about stress. Stress is good. What is this avoid stress? You avoid stress, your heart would stop beating. Your blood wouldn't move. Stress is the way the body works. It pushes, it eases, it pushes, it eases. Stress is how you exercise. So what we're going to talk about today is the nature of stress and where stress doesn't go right. And very often stress doesn't go right when it turns to strain. Now, strain is a very interesting thing. Think about it. You're exercising. You're exercising one part of your body. You keep exercising it over and over and over again. There's a point at which you feel the muscle break down, and then new muscle builds. That's the theory of muscle building. You are breaking down. You're tearing down the old. That's the burn you feel to make room for the new. What we are doing and what everybody has in their system is a way of turning stress into strain. Strain is the broken down condition. If you're going to build new muscle, but most often people psychologically feel stress and they don't create anything new. They just break down. So I thought we'd look at physics. The physics of stress itself. And let's talk about some of the properties of stress. Stress yields an elastic behavior. With stress, you have elasticity, right? Stress strain, stress when you move. Elastic, you're movable, you're mobile. If you avoid stress completely and you lay on the beach, you don't move. You're stressless. You don't get up. Here comes a tsunami. I'll be there in a minute. When stress begins to accumulate, there gets to be an elastic limit where the stress itself is no longer as elastic as it was. Think about just your fear. Your excitement or you're running away from something. There's a point at which you can't do it anymore. And you start to go where you're going from where you have an automatic elasticity of stress like running. And now you're having a strain. You can't run anymore. So you push against it. Well, that's not necessarily bad. Because that takes you to what's called the elastic limit of stress. Now, to think about this psychologically, think about the stresses you have in your life. You come home from work, your child says to you, Mommy, Mommy, I got a booby-dabby. It's a stress. You say to your child, Okay, honey, dooby-dabby-dabby. And your child says, but blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. And you go, obby-dabby-dabby. And everything is cool. You've gone through one stressor nicely. But the child has a meltdown. But Mommy, gabba-gabba-gabba. And you're trying your best. And you begin to get tense back. Now, you've moved from your elasticity to your plasticity. Interesting, they call it plasticity too. Because you become plastic. You start giving automatic plastic responses. Your heart is no longer connected. You remove your heart. Well, just because I said you do. Because you have to turn off the TV. No, you can't stay on the phone. Do not text your girlfriends tonight. and this plastic you, this automatic you, begins to appear, just as it does in physics. But there's something about the plastic self that even in physics, when it develops, it still has a yield. So now you're yielding like plastic yields. Do you ever bend a plastic spoon? It yields. It's not as good as a noodle, you know, but it yields, and you still have a yield to you. However, if you continue the stress, and the stress perpetuates, the spoon says, I better not bend anymore, or I'm going to break. So it begins to harden. This is when stress, the normal stress that you feel every day, my friends, turns into strain. Now, you're beginning to harden. How do we harden? The way we harden is we remove the oxygen from something. It becomes anaerobic. If you do an exercise and you don't put oxygen in that exercise, that muscle will break down. It will turn to strain because it can't breathe. If you have stress and you have no breathing room for your stress, you have no place to release it, no place to let it come out, no place to expire it. It holds together and holds together and holds together, and then you go home and you could feel yourself cracking. So people try to break it. People break it by smoking cigarettes. People break it by taking a drink. People break it by getting distracted, by doing email, by doing something. You're trying to put air into your stress. A common belief is meditate. I'm going to talk about what a big mistake that is. Because meditating into stress doesn't necessarily stop it from turning to strain. I'll teach you about that. When strain sets in, when the stress sets in, and you have none but a plastic relief, and your plastic relief is so frequent and it's not working, it turns to a hardening effect. And when it hardens, you have another thing in physics called the ultimate stress, which is the hardening of an object. And when it hardens, what does it do? It fractures. That's what a mental breakdown is. You've heard us talk about it often enough. He had a mental breakdown. It's a fracture of the stress mechanism. It fractured. You went from stress to strain to fracture. That's a breakdown. And at that point, what does the body do? It actually recommits you to a stressless condition. You become powerless. You're wiped out. It sends you down to a place where eventually you will breathe back some life into your stress. See, you'll bring it back. You won't become broken. If you haven't fractured too much. And if you fractured too much, then we have some troubles. This is Armand DeMille with you. It's A Positive Mind. I hope that gives you an image to look at, a picture. Think about it now. Stress, benign in itself. Almost good stress, like exercise. Stress is flexible. Very good. Stress becomes flexible until it becomes plastic, which means increased stress and not enough flexibility to go with it, not enough air in the stress. And then it turns into this plastic, and now you have plastic reactions, like you have plastic friends, like you have plastic clothing, and you're moving through life in this kind of semi-movement kind of way, but not a real movement kind of way. It's artificial. And then if the stress continues, If things stay at that level, you could just live a plastic life, as many people do. But if it continues, then you harden. And how many of you have just gotten hard over life? Hard plastic you, with the natural you missing. And then if that continues, and we feed the hard plastic you even more stress, what will happen is it will harden completely, and it will fracture. It's a continuum. And that's what happens to people. So people are trying real hard not to go there. So what do? Stress. Typical stress relievers. Take a vacation. Relax. meditate, smoke a joint, do whatever you could do. Well, these may seem like solutions, but all you're doing is putting air into stress. What I would like to do is find a way to mitigate the stress, to actually have it work so that it's easy and flowing and never becomes plasticized, which I'm going to talk about today. But before we do, let's talk about some of the very psychological things that happen to you. And Bernie, could you tell me some of the, what are the classic stressors that people go through?
Well, there's so many, but just going back to what you said at the beginning, that stress is good in the sense that without it, you wouldn't be alive. Even spiritual teachers, the Buddha, say that the nature of life, of being in a body, is stress, that we have stress. We have so many needs and desires.
Well, what are the negative stressors?
And so life is filled with them, and people face them every day. Certainly losing contact with loved ones, losing friends, the death of family members, that is a very big stressor that people face, injuries, abuse, being neglected, separation in relationships. Certainly many people have to deal with that, and that's a huge stressor. All kinds of conflicts in interpersonal relationships, everybody deals with that on a daily basis practically. And of course what we're dealing with now in the financial crisis, bankruptcy, money problems, I mean, I'm sure...
Security, the whole idea of security is a major stressor.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I know, you run into people every day who have, you know, lost their 401ks down to 201 or 101, losing jobs, you know, unemployment, sleep problems, as you mentioned before, problems with or issues with children, and demands that are made on us constantly. I mean, even as you mentioned, a vacation could be a stressor. Just getting there or getting cross town could be stress.
So one of the things we're seeing is that there are a number of opportunities for us to have these stresses come to us every day, and there are some increasing fears around stressors. Now, the distress... Stress, distress, related words. Distress usually is when you add to the stressor itself the following items. Fear. If you add fear to your distress, that will increase the stress. That will turn the stress into distress. Repetitive thought patterns, obsessive-compulsive thinking about something will take a stressor. So, like, let's say you have a stressor, your job is threatened. You think about it day and night. Now it becomes a bigger stressor.
Also, I'm on self-blame and guilt, the feeling I shouldn't be stressed. You know, why is this happening to me?
Good point. And self-criticism and remorse about the past. Now, all of these work, and we're not saying they're wrong. This is what happens, my friends. It is not that you shouldn't worry about the future events. It is not that you shouldn't have repeated patterns. This happens, but just understand that the components of your stressful response is the following. But here's the thing that everybody's missing. And today I'll give you my clue. My cue. In fact, let me just finish to telling you among the positive things. There are positive things that are stresses, like having a child, like Bernie said, taking a vacation, like holiday seasons can be big stresses. Retiring could, taking a new class, even a new hobby could be a stressor. But let's go a step further. Because I don't think that the answer to stress is relaxing. I think just the opposite. And I was working with a man today in my office who was talking about the stress he had at his job, and I said to him, look, if we want to go further with this, we have to go further. Because what is it about a stressor? How does it affect your body? Let's go back to the chemistry of it. Let's talk about that. What is the possibility? If you feel stress, if somebody leans on you, how does that feel? Good or bad? Not so good. Somebody leans on you, puts an arm on you. Does it feel good? Well, yeah. Somebody puts a package on your arm. Somebody asks you to do something. Would you stand here for an extra 5 minutes? Would you hold on the phone? All of these small stresses represent something. They represent pain. The missing element in stress is acknowledgement of the pain. The pain when you push against a status. If you have something that is in a homeostatic place and you push against it, you stretch it, there's a stretching and that is pain. Now, of course, we don't think of it as pain. Well, pain feels good. It feels good to expand your lungs. It feels good to push against yourself. But why do we deny that there is a pain? What do we look for whenever you feel stressor? You look for getting rid of the stressor so that you let it out of your mind so that you could breathe into it and you ignore the pain. I found something different. I found that if you locate the pain of the stressor and you allow yourself to feel the pain of the stressor dissipates, disappears. That the real nodule here is holding against the pain. Somebody, you feel a pain, right? And you're holding it in. You're not letting yourself feel it. You're saying, relax. No. Instead, say, ow. Say, ouch. Say, ooh, it hurts. So as an example of this, let me give you an example of imagine a stressor in your life right now. And close your eyes and move into it. Not if you're driving, of course. Move into that stressor and just think, oh, where am I going to get the money for dinner tonight? Money for dinner, money for dinner, money for dinner. And you let yourself think about it. And then you let yourself drop into the strain of having to find. Now, instead of smiling, try crying. Try letting the hurt of it sit in. Ah, it hurts. It hurts to have to do this. It hurts to have to deal with the loss of a loved one. It hurts to have to deal with my job and my job pressures. Acknowledge the hurt. If you acknowledge the hurt, a tear will come. And that tear, if you allow it, and most of you won't, you'll open your eyes as soon as I mention it. If you allow that hurt to take place, the stress dissipates. It dissolves. The tear is like a lubricant. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. I'm talking to you about a very different way of approaching it. Because up until now, what we've had is all this idea of relax stress, relax, take it easy, meditate, go. No, but why is it not working? Because if you meditate, you give it air for a minute. If you feel the pain, you go through it. You complete it. So like if somebody hits you in the arm, you say, ouch. Somebody steps on your toe, you go, ooh. That helps get rid of it. Somebody steps on your toe and you swallow your voice. Although I got to tell you, I had a good voice. I remember I was in a hotel once and Mick Jagger was in the hotel with me and he was right in front of me and he backed up in the elevator because the elevator was crowded and he stepped on my toe. I was wearing sneakers. I didn't want to say anything. I liked it. I liked the pain in my foot because Mick Jagger was standing on my foot. Right? I didn't want to move it. I did say, hello, Mick. Want to come on WBAI? Someday. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. 212-209-2900. We're going to take your calls about this. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, to the idea of finding the pain inside the stressor. No alternatives, no relaxing, no sometimes, no other things. That is it possible that inside each stressor, you feel. Now, before we go any further, I want to talk to Maria from yesterday who called us in, who I'm sure is listening today. Maria, I have three people who have called in response to you. Maria, who is 74, I think, something like that, lives in New Jersey, said she can't come in. I have two men who are willing to drive you, and one man who offered to buy you a free session. So if you call us or email us, Maria, we will arrange that to you to happen, because this is such a beautiful thing, these people here at WBAI. And a second thing I want to mention, while I take your calls at 212-209-2400, I'm sorry, 2900, 212-209-2900, there is a thing, well, I'll play this for you a little later. Let's take some of your calls. 212-209-2900, this is Armand DeMille. Hi there, you're on the air. How are you? There you are. Hello.
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 Hi. I was listening to you talking about embracing the pain.
Well, embracing is a big word. Feeling.
Okay, because I gave birth to four children live with natural, spontaneous childbirth with no medication or anything.
Sure.
And each time, it was no pain because I removed myself from the pain.
How did you do that?
I just didn't think about it. And each time when I did it, I never had babies before. I just decided I was going to do it the way I read about Native Americans and Africans. And I said, I can do it too.
Okay.
And each time I didn't tear, I didn't need anything. And after it was over, I thought about it. And I said, oh, my God, how did I do that?
But you see, you have a way of dissociating. And that's called a dissociative reaction. People who grew up in tough neighborhoods. Did you grow up in a tough neighborhood?
Well, it was tough, but I never felt any of the madness.
What about your family madness?
There was no madness in my family.
What's your name, by the way?
Teresa.
Teresa, there was nobody violent in your whole family?
Well, not in a sense where people was hitting each other.
No, but what about yelling at each other?
No, my mother had strict rules. She said that...
That's it. There you are. Go ahead. Strict rule, Mom.
All that stuff that goes on outside is outside. This is what we do in here.
No fussing in here.
No, we fuss.
So what do you do?
We didn't act like uncivilized to each other.
That's it. And what did you do when you gave baby? You listened to your mother. You became civilized.
Okay.
Didn't you?
I mean, I screamed because she came out, child.
Amazing, isn't it?
But I didn't have pain. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And even when the child came out, the first one, I still remember, I was exhausted. They put her on my stomach, and she felt heavy. And I said, oh, my God, why are they laying this heavy thing on my stomach? I just gave birth. And then after a while, I just forgot about the heaviness, and I was so happy about the child. It's like I instantly forgot all the pain that I was supposed to feel.
Pretty amazing. I thank you. Teresa, I thank you very much. It's kind of amazing. You were willing to go through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it didn't take hold of you.
Exactly.
Yeah, because fighting pain itself very often will do that.
Yes, and it's the same approach as getting teeth pulled. I've had teeth pulled without any anesthesia because I just accepted that it was going to happen, but I wasn't there.
Well, you see, now that's like me. But you see, you're not there. I'm there, and I take the pain. You know, I was trying to invent the do-it-yourself root canal kit.
But the thing of it, Armand, is when it's over, I look back at it, and then I go, oh, my God, I'll never do that.
How did I go through, Armand DeMille? Let me take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm excellent.
Beautiful program, beautiful program.
Thank you. What's so beautiful about it for you?
Everything just resonates, you know?
Yeah.
The environment that we're in is so, I suppose, so caustic. You know, it's so intense, is the word. You can almost feel the pain out there.
And do you let yourself feel it?
Yes, I do. I don't know if I let myself feel it. I just know that I'm in pain myself, so I recognize the pain.
Do you feel it now?
Yeah, I do.
Tell me about it. Tell me what you feel.
Well, it's I suspect that it's a childhood thing that comes from a background, Caribbean background.
Uh-huh.
My mom was not there most of the time. Even though she was, she wasn't. A child of rape. That whole history comes into play in my 40s.
Wait, stop there now. Stop right there. Mm-hmm. Your entire demeanor just changed.
Yeah.
When you said a childhood rape.
Yeah.
I want you to talk to me like I'm your friend. I want you to talk to me like I'm your brother. And I want you to say to me, oh, that hurts so much.
So much pain.
No, not... There was so much pain. I want you to say, it hurt so much.
It hurts so much.
Do you feel it differently when you say it that way?
I honestly don't know. I just know the pain is so intense.
Yeah. What a terrible thing to happen to you.
Yeah.
And what else continued from there?
Came out of a abusive home situation and went right into a marriage that wasn't physically abusive, but so emotionally and psychologically abusive that I really didn't understand the pain until this minute. You know, I didn't understand the connection until now.
Because now you realize what? What's your name, by the way?
Anne Marie,
what do you realize?
I realize that I really haven't dealt with my childhood and my mother.
Yeah, you haven't gone through the feelings of it.
I thought I did, but I really haven't. Because
yeah.
It brings up, every time I listen to you and you talk about pain, I seem to go on crying. And I'm thinking, why am I feeling this way?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Anne Marie. I don't mean to do it to you, but you know, I think it's one of my big gifts. I think if I remind people that their hearts are filled with tears, that they become more loving people to themselves. That's why you keep coming back. Otherwise, you'd listen to Dr. Phil.
Right. Absolutely. You are so absolutely right about that. That's why I listened for that teaser, you know?
Yeah. So when are we going to attack yours directly?
I'm trying. I am absolutely trying right now.
Do you have anybody who you could work with who could guide you?
Not at this moment, no.
Call my office. Let us find you someone.
Okay.
Let us find you someone, Anne-Marie, because, you know, sometimes when the stuff is so big in the past, you need to have somebody around to just catch you when you fall.
Absolutely.
You know, and otherwise you say to yourself, why am I going to fall? There's nobody there to catch me.
Which is always what happens.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And then we pick the wrong person to catch us, you know?
Yep.
We make it even a little worse. So you get in touch with me, and I promise you we'll find you some way to start dealing with it. You call, send me an email, armand@thepositivemind.com. Can you do that?
@thepositivemind.com.
Armand, yes, Armand.
Okay.
And I'll direct you, okay?
Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're talking about a different way of looking at stress and strain. We're using a model that comes from physics, talking about how stress goes from being something that is originally flexible to something that could become plastic, that could eventually become fractured. And we want to try to prevent that from happening because we have much too much fracturing in this world. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Choco Cote, Uno Baba. What Choco Cote, Uno Baba. As a man who knows how to show his stress, Bunga 74, from the Angola 74 album Bunga, Mandopuro. You know, a man named Harry Mills, Mark Dombeck, Natalie Rees, talked about Hans Salier's work, and Dr. Lazarus. They talked about positive stress, and they call it eustress, E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S. Eustress is an important thing because eustress is, you know, like we said, in order to get your body working, you need to stress it. You stress your stomach so that it digests. You stress your heart so it pumps blood. What's good about eustress is that it motivates you. It focuses energy. It's short-term. It's perceived as within your coping abilities, and it generates excitement. Because stress gets you to a level of functioning where you're firing all these very active neurotransmitters that your body likes a lot. So it's not that the stress is bad. It's how you handle the stress, or whether the stress triggers a response. Once you have turned a stress into a place where it's fixed, once that stress loses its oxygen, your body is prepared for a bunch of hormones and neurotransmitters that are like this fight-or-flight response. Once the stress has hit you in the wrong place, you either feel like fighting or running. You know it when you get angry, or when you want to hide, or when you want to take a drug. Then it's gone over the edge. Once you get to that point, the fight-or-flight response, it's automatic and fast. It was helpful to our ancestors because it provided them with automatic responses. They didn't have to take time to think about it. What they do is it helps you secrete cortisol, which is elevated levels of epinephrine. Norepinephrine increases your heart rate, elevates your blood pressure, speeds up your reaction time, boosts your energy level. Doesn't that sound good? Under the combined effect of cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine, the body diverts blood away from digestion towards the muscle and the brains. It dilates the pupils. All of this sounds very exciting when you're excited. But it hurts. And it hurts. And if you don't recognize it and you get locked into it, it takes over. Now, below this, when the brain sits in this overexcited state, the body looks to balance it. It goes into the pituitary gland. It triggers the release of another hormone called adrenocorticotropin into the bloodstream. That acts on the adrenal glands, which are above the kidneys, to release the hormones cortisol and cortisone as well. So now your body begins to fight against itself. This is where your body is now secreting chemicals against chemicals, goods against goods, and now you're starting to fight because it knows you're breaking down. It knows it's happening. This is where it only takes an ouch. Yes, my friends, believe it or not, it is the non-recognition of the pain, of the stressor, that is creating the counter-reaction that leads to strain, which is what breaks down your body. Cortisol works immediately to raise the amount of energy in your body. Glucose also gets secreted. As all of these incredible things take place in this very funny kind of way, until you say, I don't think I'll be at the mercy of this. What's the big deal? I'm going to relax. I'll get a shot of scotch. Well, you know what helps? Shot of scotch. It does. You relax. You take your mind off the problem. So that helps for that moment. But then it doesn't go away completely. It comes back a little later. I'll take a sleeping pill. Yeah, that works for a little while, but then you wake up with the same thing. I'll laugh it off. I'll go say something funny. I'll have sex. I'll go do something. Why don't they work? Because the one thing you're not doing is letting in the pain. Armand DeMille here with you at The Positive Mind. 212-209-2900. Did you want to say something, Bernie?
Yeah, so what you're pointing out here is that how we handle the stress, how we react to it, is a very key issue. And as a matter of fact, Teresa really highlights that point, obviously, who just called in. And she obviously handles pain and stress very well. Others may not. Some people fight it. Some can't let it go. They get obsessed with it. And then there are others, like Teresa, who are what we call resilient, that it kind of bounces off them. They experience it. They kind of accept it, but they can let it go. And as a matter of fact, Tom Perls, who studied people who lived to 100 and beyond, found that the most consistent characteristic of these long-lived people is their resiliency. Their
resiliency.
Ability to handle stress. And nothing else held up. They eat the wrong foods. I mean, you name it. None of the popular wisdom holds up. But their resiliency with stress.
That's a great point, Bernie, because one of the things that they talk about in physics when I was studying the nature of stress is tensile strength. T-E-N-S-I-L-E, strength. Tensile strength is the equivalent of resiliency. You see, it's how much can you bend? How possible is it to bend? And like we said, if you go from being somebody who is resilient to somebody who is plastic, but then the plastic gets hardened. Do you ever see people walking around when they get to be a little too old and they get stiff? It's like they're plastic spoons. And there's where the potential break is. But the people who live the most vibrant lives are the people who are the most resilient.
So here's the trillion-dollar question, because as we know, millions don't even count anymore. Why can someone like Teresa do it that way?
Well, I'm not sure about Teresa.
Well,
I think Teresa might have been dissociating. So I'm not sure.
Okay, but let's take someone who's genuinely resilient.
Who goes through pain. Let's talk about the difference between me and Teresa. I go to a dentist who wants to pull my tooth. I say, pull my tooth, don't give me an anesthetic. You know why I don't want the anesthetic? I don't like the way it feels afterwards. I don't like what it does to me. So, I say, I'll do it without. And the dentist says to me, but I can't, it's going to hurt you. I say, I'll feel the pain.
Yes, I do the same thing. I don't take the anesthetic.
Right, so let me have the pain. So why, Bernie, do you dissociate from the pain? No, you feel the pain. And by feeling it, even though to you this is something that you would easily do, nobody else would do it.
But it's also not only that you experience the pain and let it in, you don't let it hang there afterwards.
That's right.
You forget about it.
What do you mean you? You mean Bernie does.
Pain. Well, or you.
I, Bernie.
I, for sure.
Yeah, I, Bernie, let it through and it goes. It's like a stressor. I feel it. I go through it. It's past.
Right, and that's exactly, as you mentioned before, why meditation for some people won't work.
Absolutely
because
not.
Because they will just obsess about all the stuff that keeps coming up.
And they'll just shut it off. They won't feel it. They'll go numb.
Or even the vacation won't work.
Exactly. 212. See, Bernie and I have cheap dentists. How do you like my do-it-yourself root canal kit? That'll be the one, huh, Bernie?
Mine isn't cheap.
212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello
there, yes.
Yes, this is Tommy from Queens.
Hello, Tommy.
Yes, I'm a long-time listener. I've been listening to you for 10 years. And I'm going through pain right now.
Oh, what's happening, Tommy?
Well, I've been going through a lot of things. I lost my job. I've been through a very tough divorce. And I recently lost my girlfriend. And I wake up crying every day. I seem to handle it. I've been through this before. Well, not the same situation, but I've been through pain before, and I started listening to you. And you became like, God, I only look for you when I'm in pain.
Yeah.
Sure. And,
so you're feeling it now, Tommy. And, Tommy, the level of it that you're feeling is every day you feel depressed?
Yes.
And what do you say to yourself? Do you blame yourself?
I do.
You're self-critical, right?
Yes.
And the self-criticism you have of yourself is, how could you do what? What did you do wrong?
I feel like with the divorce, I'm happy about it in the sense that it's something I wanted. And it's going the way I planned it. But with a girl that I was seeing, someone that I loved for more than 7 years, and recently reunited with her, I feel like I couldn't handle the stress I was going through with the divorce that finally came through and the loss of the job. And my loss of school, I also got kicked out of school, and it just feels like so much loss.
All right, so here I hear it. Tommy, here I hear, I can hear what's going on with you. I know you feel a lot of loss, but let me tell you something. How did you feel about getting kicked out of school? Did it piss you off?
Yes.
Did you get angry?
I did.
Why did you get angry at them? What did they do wrong?
Well, I didn't get angry with them. I got angry with myself.
Yeah, but they were unfair, weren't they?
I felt like they could have given me more time to put
That's right. They could have given you more time to put the stuff through. They could be human with you, right?
Yes.
And what about your girlfriend? Why didn't she have enough room for you? Are you angry with her?
Sometimes I feel angry, but I feel more angry.
Okay, and what about your wife? Do you feel angry at your ex-wife?
Sometimes I do.
Okay, here's the problem, Tommy. You're angry at everybody, but you're turning it against yourself. If you want to step out of this, I want you to let yourself become aware of your aggression. Where are you now? Tell me where you are.
I actually drove to a cemetery to be able to talk to you.
Good. Good. You're in a cemetery. I like cemeteries. A good place for people to talk to me. Where you are your windows closed?
Yes, they're closed.
All I want you to say is the words, I'm angry. Say it. Say it.
I'm angry.
Yeah, say it louder.
I'm angry.
Okay, now, Tommy, watch this happen. I want you to say it louder and louder and louder until it's shaking the people out of their tombstones. Keep doing it. I'll do it with you. Go ahead, go.
I'm angry.
Again.
I'm angry.
Louder than that.
I'm angry.
Even louder than that. Scream it. That's right. And even more.
I'm angry.
Now hit your dashboard.
I'm angry.
Damn right I am. Now open your windows and shout it.
I'm angry.
That's right. Now take a deep breath. Tommy,
yes.
Do you feel alive?
I do.
Now laugh at the dead, will you? They were all curious as to what's going on. You woke them up. They said there's somebody alive here. The secret of all depression like yours is anger turned inward. That needs some expression outward. The pain that you feel, like you, some of the people who feel the pain, but you were focusing on the pain only. And the part of you that I needed was the part of you that is also angry, resentful, because it didn't start here. It happened in your childhood, too. When you were a kid, you were angry and you were a good boy. You know? So there's a part of you that's coming alive. This is it. This is the threshold, Tommy. Here's the point where you stop blaming yourself. This is the point at which Tommy becomes Tom. What do you think of the idea?
I like it.
I like it.
Yeah, you brought me to tears.
Yeah, well, I bring myself to tears, too. I love you, Tommy.
Thank you, man. I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good old cemeteries. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Armand.
Oh, hi. Hard to get past that, isn't it?
Well, I just did it with you.
Good for you. What were you saying it too?
I'm sorry.
Are you saying I'm angry too?
I just said it in my head.
Good. Let's hear you say it out loud.
Feel it in my body.
Well, are you alone?
I'm sorry?
Are you alone?
I'm home, and my daughter's in the house.
Like, yeah. Okay, well, now, wait. Where are you in your house?
I'm in my bedroom upstairs.
Oh, good. Pick up a pillow.
Okay. Well,
got a pillow?
Yes.
Put that pillow directly in front of your face. What's your name?
Kathy,
put that pillow directly in front of your face, over your lips,
yeah,
and yell, I'm angry, right into it.
All right. You mean now?
Yeah, right now. Your daughter's not going to hear it. Yell it right into the pillow.
I'm angry.
Louder than that.
I'm angry.
Got it. Even louder than that. You got it.
I'm angry.
Yeah, one more time. Go with me.
I'm angry.
There comes the tear. Yeah, Kathy, of course. Of course. What do you feel?
Hurt.
Yeah, of course. And there are those tears, you see?
Yeah.
That's the tears are the sweat of the heart. You've been through such stuff recently. What's going on for you?
Oh, lots of things.
Things, right? Things that get turned into self-criticism. Self-criticism that gets turned into self-doubt. That gets turned into despair. That gets turned into stress. And you sit around and you feel like, oh, I'm living for my daughter.
No.
No, huh?
No, not really, but, I mean, I don't feel like I'm living for her, but I...
Good for you.
I have a lot of complications in a lot of areas, and it's, you know, long sort of term, stressful things.
And you just got to let the pain in, you see?
Yeah.
You just got to let it in. Let it in. Don't try to hold it away. Don't get buried under it like Tommy gets buried under it because... He's familiar. Some people who are uncomfortable with anger, they bury themselves under depression. And they stay underneath it. That's depressed.
Yeah.
It's not what I'm looking for.
No.
When you're depressed, I say get above it. And that's where I recommend the I'm angry. But when a person can be in touch with their pain, go through the pain like Bernie is a dentist, you know, it just becomes a different way of living. Becomes a different life. A life of reality. Pain is a part of life. You're going to get older. You're going to get in your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 40s. It's going to ache more. So what? It's just going to hurt. That's what happens to machines when you use them a long time. You know, you drive your car. At the end of a day of driving your car, you could say to yourself, boy, my car really operated well today. You know what happens when you stop your car? You know what your car does? It goes, oh, and it groans, and it feels all the oil going past it and what you just put it through. Your car groans, but we never hear the car groan. But it's not happy for having gone through that trip. It aches, and it's okay. Thank God we don't have to listen.
I think, I mean, for me, sometimes I do allow myself, I have the time and the space to feel the pain and kind of go through it. And then there are other times when something will occur, say at work or someplace, where, you know, you really just can't just start crying in the middle of work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you take it and then you find yourself a place where you can eventually, you know, bring yourself back to your heart. Kathy, I want to thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, Armand, thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Bernie Starr. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Keep it in mind, my friends. It only hurts. Armand at thepositivemind.com. If you want to send me an email, don't mind that telephone. It's just a phone thing. So you can go to the website, thepositivemind.com, or you can go to WBAI.org. Either one, my friends. Bye-bye for now.